Thank you for listening to the Paradigm Podcast. Paradigm is a young adult ministry that exists to see lives changed by Jesus. For more information about Paradigm, go to ParadigmKC.com. We hope this message is inspiring and life-changing. Thanks for listening.
What's up, Paradigm? If you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you find the book of Acts? Acts is going to be in the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 8 tonight. And if you are joining us online, I just want to welcome you, and I want to invite you as well to get your Bible out, physical copy or a digital copy. Find the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. And as you are turning your attention to Acts chapter 8, I just want to ask you a question tonight. Do you remember the first time that your world was shaken upside down? Like your personal world. Some of you come in here and right now, what's going on right now in society, all that's taking place with pandemics and pandemonium, it is you are living in the middle of your world being shaken upside down personally. Others of you, it happened some years ago that you went through some sort of traumatic experience and you can look back quickly and get back to the place of that pain when everything personally was being shaken upside down. I know for me, it happened. One of the earliest times I remember was when I was a teenager. My parents, they had split up much like some of y'all's parents. And that's just always kind of difficult to navigate when you're, a teenager. And so we moved in with my mom, and my mom and I and one of my brothers, we actually moved into this new house. It was nice. It had cabinets, y'all. Like, it was legit, okay? Anyway, we moved into this house, and what happened during that time, we were dependent upon my father's income paying child support for our livelihood. Well, lo and behold, my dad, he had some troubles with alcohol and the law, and he winds up in jail for the first time. And my mom comes to us during that time. It was in the fall when I was 16 years old, and she says, Hey guys, it doesn't look like we're going to have much of a Christmas, and there's a possibility that we're going to lose our house. And so what happened was the worst took place. Like, I remember, like, my world personally got flipped, turned upside down, and we found ourselves that Christmas not getting much, just like some secondhand things, some fruit in the stocking. And my mom, she had to move out of this house that we were living in, and I went that year for Christmas to go pick up my dad from rehab so that he could get out of jail sooner. And I moved back into this house. My dad had moved into the house that I grew up in. And when I left that house, I had lived so long in that house. And there were so many great memories as a child in this house. And I left when my mom left. But when I moved back into that house, I kind of had this similar place, right? I moved back into this similar home, but I had this new mentality. Like, I guess because when we moved out, I was kind of a younger teenager. And when I moved back in, I kind of felt more like I was on my own, because I kind of was. And so I get into this house I grew up in. It was a similar place, but I had a new mentality, so much so that it led to some new behavior in my life. Like, we had all this crown molding that needed to be hung, so I worked it out with a friend of mine. He was actually a mentor of mine, to come over one weekend, and we hung all this crown molding. And then, like, we had some property, and I bought a horse at the time, and, I need to have a fence for the horse. And so I went out there and I built all the fence myself. We had this creek that our driveway went over, and the bridge had collapsed. And so I went out there with a sledgehammer as a teenager, and I began to break up the concrete on this bridge and rebuild the bridge. And see, what had happened was I went back to a similar place, a house that I grew up in. But when I returned to that home, I had a new mentality that led to new behavior. And I share that with you tonight because you and I have come back into a similar place. A lot of us, you have been to this place before, but I want to invite you tonight to have a new mentality that will hopefully lead to some new behaviors. Because here's what I know to be true. Like, maybe you're just checking out Christianity, maybe you're just checking out church, and here's what I know to be true, that if you think in your mind, when you think faith, when you think Christianity, and you think Jesus, when all that comes to mind is like a building and a gathering, then you have grossly misunderstood what the Bible has portrayed as the church. If you think that, like, that this right here, that singing songs and having me come put a mic on my head and yell at you for 30 minutes, if you think that that is church, a pandemic will reveal the weakness of your faith. That if you've come in here tonight, and when it comes to faith, that you think that it's just this gathering where you go to church and you just attend this thing, what happens when racism and riots break out in the streets? You won't have an answer. And so tonight I'm inviting you to come back to a similar place, but to have a new mentality. If you're taking notes tonight, I've titled this message, Welcome Back. Welcome Back. And here's what I want to do tonight. I want to propose three questions that will hopefully answer some things in your life in regards to your faith and Christianity. And I want to show you the movement that you were made for. I want to show you the message that you were called to share. And I want to invite you to observe the method and be able to apply that in your life personally and the way this movement and this message plays out practically. Acts is this book that's really the second part of a two-part series that this guy, he was a doctor named Luke, He was funded to be able to write the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts by a guy named Theophilus. He had some bread, and so he wanted to know what was Jesus all about. And so Luke, he was a doctor and a good investigator, and he began to interview people and get eyewitness accounts of the life and the ministry of Jesus. And so he wrote the Gospel of Luke, as you have it in your Bible, and then he also was tasked by this guy Theophilus to write about how the church got started. And so he wrote the book of Acts. Some of it he had to interview some people, and then some of the book of Acts, we find that he was actually a part of it. And so we pick up into this story, and what's happened up until this point in time is that Jesus, he's hit the scene, he's done his ministry, he's died on a cross, he's risen from the grave, he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's told this group of people, hey, wait, and I'm going to send the Spirit to you, and when the Spirit comes, it's on like Donkey Kong. And the Spirit comes, and the church is began, like the church is birthed. And these men and women, they go out in the streets with boldness, and they begin to fearlessly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happens is, like, the church blows up, y'all. Like, we see in one day, like, thousands, 3,000 people are saved, and they're added to this church. And so in Jerusalem, you got this movement going. They got branding going on. They got social media channels. I mean, it's going down. I mean, it is all, everybody wants to go to Jerusalem, figure it out. But then there are some problems that happened to the church of Jerusalem, namely just persecution. One of their guys, a guy named Stephen, he was telling somebody about Jesus, and other people, they didn't like it. See, we serve Jesus who died for what he believed. That he was hated on, and Jesus said, because they hated on me, they're going to hate on you too. And so Stephen is this guy's name. He is literally pelted with rocks to death. And what happens is that this persecution begins to infect and affect the church as they knew it. And this is where we pick up in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Saul was kind of like the leader of the death or the martyr of Stephen, this guy that I mentioned earlier that was killed for preaching. It says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. So persecution, like a pandemic, shut down the meeting. So everybody in the early church, they on Zoom calls, you know. They trying to pray on Zoom when somebody's using the bathroom, you know what I'm talking about? Just get awkward, right? They church online. They trying to, you know, worship in their living room, and it just doesn't ever get loud enough to worship in your living room to feel comfortable. Is that anybody out there, right? Like some of y'all, you came in, you sang for the first time because you don't like the way you sound, right? And so you came here. This is what was going on. They were having to figure out some things. Buildings were empty if they had them, and things were different is what I'm trying to say. In verse 2, it says, and devout men, we'll come back to this in a minute, they carried Stephen to his burial, and they made great lamentation over him. See, what had happened was Stephen was a just man that was unjustly murdered in the streets of Jerusalem, and people wept and they lamented over him. That's a good thing. It goes on in verse 3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. See, this persecution, it wasn't against an individual. It was against a people group called the church. And Saul, he was hating on this group of people. But notice that this people group, they never lost their identity. Luke just records them as the church. That there's something unique about this segment of people. That they had come together and they had formed this community called church. And they were being hated on. And this thing, the church, is what Jesus died for. This thing, the church, is what we've invited you to be a part of tonight. But what is it, right? Put number one, if you're taking notes, why don't you write this question. Now, what is the church? What is the church? So much could be said here. But in a short few moments that I have, instead of, you know, going through books and all sorts of long definitions about the church, let me just make it real simple. The church is a movement for all people who believe in Jesus and follow him. Listen, the church isn't a building. The church isn't a place. The church is a movement for all people. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you grew up in. It doesn't matter what color skin you got. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what age you're in. The church is a movement for all people who believe in Jesus and follow him. It's not a prayer that you prayed. It's not a commitment that you made. It's not water that was sprinkled on you. It's none of those things. It's for people who believe in Jesus and follow him. The church is an organism. It's an organized organism. It's not simply an organization. It's something that is alive. The church is a body. It's a people. It's you and me if you follow Jesus. In the church, it is the movement that you were made for. And listen, it's the movement that you long for. Don't you know that when you was all little and in your mama's tummy, Jesus, what it says in the Bible is that God was knitting you in your mother's womb. All of your idiosyncrasies and all of your weird, you know, when you laugh, you snort type things, you know what I'm saying? All of those things, God, he wove all those things inside your mama's tummy. That is you. But because of sin, we were born into a family of wickedness. And Jesus has come to call us into a kingdom of righteousness. And so Jesus, though he made you in your mother's womb, he is now calling you to be a part of the greatest movement to ever sweep the planet Earth called the church. It's what Jesus said he would build in Matthew 16, 18. He's got his guys there and he looks at this place that was known as the gates of hell. It was where this pagan worship center was in Caesarea Philippi. And he looks at his guys and he says that I am going to build my church on this proclamation that I am the Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That I love Jesus. He's not some mamby-pamby. If we make it, it's going to be great. No, he came to start a movement that persecution could not pester away. He came to start a movement that was great, and he's called to invite every one of you to be a part of it. Listen, the church is the movement that you were made for. The church is a movement that brings this force of love to extinguish the hate that exists today. The church is this movement that has come to bring a force of light to expose the night and the darkness. The church is this movement that has come to bring a force of service that meets needs in society. The church is this movement that has come to bring this force of justice that tries the wicked. The church is this movement that has brought this force of generosity that gives to the needy. It's this movement that's brought this force of support for the marginalized. It's this church that this is this movement that has brought this force of hope for the desperate and so much more. And listen, any group that bears the name of church and doesn't aspire to be the things I just mentioned is merely a building that will be burned by the judgment of God for its hypocrisy. That we are called to be a part of this movement is what you're made for. Don't waste your life on any other thing. You can be a part of other things, but the thing that Jesus said he would build is his church. Not only is it the movement you were made for, but it's the movement you long for. You watch the news this week? Deep in the heart of every man and woman is this desire to be a part of something that is bigger than us. We want to change the world. And we want to do it with other people by our side. And so it's led people to peacefully protest, and they've gone out to take a stand against the injustices of our day in a peaceful way, and you feel like you're a part of something when you do that. It's also, it's led people to go out and loot and riot in the streets and to try to take a stand in a way that isn't really pleasing to God. And listen, we all long to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves, that we can join other people. And I'm telling you, the church is what it is. That when you sign up to follow Jesus, you become a part of a family, y'all. And this family doesn't just exist in the Midwest in this building. This family is global. This family is eternal. You get to be a part of a gang that goes into dangerous places. It doesn't blast people with guns or blast people with violence, but it blasts people with love and hope. You get to be a part of something that is bigger than you, and you get to usher in the kingdom of God. Jesus said to his followers, he said, when you pray, pray like this. And he gives us some things, and then he comes to this point, he says, your kingdom come, God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's this phrase right now that's become quite popular. I can't breathe. And this phrase has become the anthem for the cry for justice in response to the murder of a man named George Floyd. That the majority of us, we watched rated R material blast across the news. And I think that everyone in here is flooded with this cocktail of emotions, right? That some of us, we feel different things because of the way we were brought up. But every one of us, we are flooded with this cocktail of emotions that we are vacillating between this, this, and this. And we could all unequivocally say that we are longing for things to change because something is deeply broken. And some of the things that we want to change, like we want peace to come, right? We want love to come. We want racial equality, racial reconciliation. We want those things to come. But listen, Jesus, he gives us vision for those. Did you know that? That the way Jesus leads, oftentimes he says, let me tell you how it's going to be in the end. And y'all just try to work towards that end. And so in Revelation 7, Jesus gives us this picture to one of his guys, one of his best friends named John. He sees this picture of heaven. And here's what it says that heaven's going to be like. Heaven's going to have people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every neighborhood, every hair texture, every wayside. Glory to God. There's going to be all sorts of people joining together and lifting up the name of Jesus in heaven. And I cannot wait for that day. Peace, love, unity. And so listen, I don't wait for that day. It's the movement you long for, that we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done here as it is in heaven. And so, man, I don't know about you, but I got to repent of my racism. I've got to seek to have conversations with people. I've got to learn, like, in a new way, God, celebrate. I want to celebrate diversity. And I want to be a part of the change that Jesus died to bring. So like this played out just yesterday. I was working on this message, and I get a knock on my door, and there's a guy out there. He's trying to sell me pest control, you know. So I go out there, and he, you know, he doesn't know me. It's this guy named Pio, and he's from Idaho. He's a Hispanic American. And we start talking about bugs and stuff, and we start talking about other things, family, and then we start talking about spiritual things. And then P.O., he begins to share his faith with me. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I just let it ride. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And then we begin to talk Jesus. And we begin to talk about scripture and life. And then P.O., he says, hey, can I pray for you? I'm like, yes, you can. And God sent this minority to my front door right in the middle of this time. Somebody that's different than me on the outside, but we got the same divine DNA on the inside. As if God was trying to say that the church is bigger than you ever thought it was. It's more beautiful and diverse than you ever thought it was. So you just shut up and you receive the blessing of God that I brought to your front door right now. And he prayed over me. It was this awesome moment. And listen, God wants all of us to have that vision. This is the movement that you long for. So if you're on the fence, what you waiting on? What does this look like practically? Well, it's much more than this gathering, I promise you. You heard earlier from some men in a video, and then Hannah, she shared about how you can be a part of a community group, and this is our best attempt at trying to get you into a smaller group. What we see here in verse 2 and chapter 8, we see that devout men took care of Stephen's body. Who are the devout men in your life that would come to your dead body and lament over you and take care of you? And if you don't have that type of community, let's change that. You can simply text this number right now. You can pull out your phone right now. You can text this number and you can sign up for Group Connect. Group Connect is a three-week-long process. Excuse me, three weekends in a row. It's like 21 days. That's kind of intense, right? Three weekends, all right? And so you sign up and it starts this Sunday, and we align our expectations, and we call you to enter in community and head in a similar direction with a group of men, and a group of women, or if you're married, a group of marrieds. Don't do life alone. Who are the devout men? The guy that came to my front door, his name is Pio. He told me he was Italian. That's Italian for devout. Who are the people in your life? If you're watching this online, go to that same number. Sign up for community and let us help you get connected. Don't do life alone. Listen, the church is the movement that you were made for. It's also the movement that you long for. And no pandemic, no problem, no persecution can stop the movement. And that's what we're seeing play out in Acts chapter 8. He goes on in verse 4. He says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere. Notice what they're doing, not hiding, not scared, but they're preaching the word. It means they were sharing the gospel. Don't think microphone, bullhorn, or big sandwich board, all right? They were going and they were sharing the gospel with people. Then Philip went down, it's a key player. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to him. This is a different type of preaching, and he actually opened up the scriptures, and he began to share with authority about Jesus. It says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. That's a miracle. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. They came out of many who were possessed, people that were troubled with addiction and depression. They were being delivered by Jesus. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. People that couldn't walk were walking. And note this, and there was a great joy in that city. See, persecution was the problem that scattered the people in this narrative. And we see that when persecution breaks out or when problems break out, ordinary people, quote unquote, they step up and they begin to herald the gospel. Point number two, if you're taking notes tonight, write this down. What is the message? What is the message? If Philip was preaching, what was he preaching? If the church was scattered, what were the men and women talking about? See, here's what I know to be true, that problems give birth to preachers. That problems and pandemics and pandemonium, it gives birth to preachers. This is an ordinary guy named Philip. Like, don't confuse this with Jesus' disciple, Philip. They're different people. He had never been to seminary. He didn't have any degrees, no formal training. But listen, he had the Spirit of God. And when you got the Spirit of God and you got the Word of God, better look out. That's all you need. And God was using Philip in an extraordinary way. And he goes out, he's just telling people about Jesus. He's just one beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. He was in the slave trade, and he found a way through the Underground Railroad, and he went back like Harriet Tubman to bring some more people with him. That there wasn't anything spectacular about this guy, and he just went out and he began to preach Christ. Here was this message. God created you for a relationship with him. But sin has broke out and it destroyed that relationship so much so that you live for your own desire. But God did not see it fit to leave you in your sin, so he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, to die the death that you and I deserve to die. And then he rose from the grave being victorious, and he is alive today, and you can know God through Jesus, and you can have a right relationship with your Maker. This is the message of the gospel. This is what Philip was preaching. And this is the message that we have been called today to share. And listen, no persecution, no pandemic can silence it. No amount of racism or riots or looting can stop it. That we've been on lockdown, but listen, the message and the mission hasn't been shut down. That you guys, y'all have been preaching the gospel to people. It's been incredible just to hear stories. Some of y'all think, well, you know, the church is just a gathering, so when the pandemic took place, I guess the church is on pause. No, you misunderstood the church. The church isn't a gathering like this. It's not a building. It's a people. It's a body. You could ask any man or woman that's wearing a lanyard, tell us the stories of God during this time. And you won't have enough time tonight to listen. Like just the other day, one of our leaders, just a young adult, he's a carpenter, kind of fitting like Jesus. You know, he's a carpenter, that's what he does, you know. He's just a normal guy. Never been to seminary, no real formal training. But Jesus has changed his life. And so he was with his uncle just a couple of weeks ago. And his uncle is a heroin addict. Has hepatitis because of using needles from other people. Been in prison for 10 years and now is out. And he's like this guy that you would least expect to come to Christ. And my guy, he's prompted by the Spirit to go share with his uncle. And he's like, okay, Lord, here we go, right? And lo and behold, through a series of events, God reveals himself to his uncle, and his uncle surrenders his life to Jesus. He would have never come to Paradigm, his uncle. He would have probably never come to our church. But through the mouthpiece of this ordinary man that was being used by God, somebody stepped into eternity. Let me tell you about another guy that just said, you know what, during this time, I'm just going to start a Bible study. I got a Bible, I got Zoom, and I got some people, and so let's go. And so he starts this Bible study. Just reading the Bible. It's not rocket surgery, I like to say. It's not complex, all right? This isn't SpaceX, all right? This isn't something crazy like that. This is just Bible, Spirit of God. You open it up and let it do its work. The Bible's like a lion. You let it out the cage, it'll know what to do. And so this guy named Ryan, he surrenders his life to Jesus just from these guys hopping on Zoom. Ryan probably never come here. But problems and pandemics, they birth preachers. One of our young adult women, like the first week of the pandemic, she starts sharing the gospel with this friend of hers, and the friend is like anxious about everything that's going on, and so she's listening to hope. There was a search party for hope that was released when the pandemic started. And she leads her friend to Jesus. I go on and on and on. That God has called you to be a part of this movement in which you get so just enthralled with the glory of Jesus, and you get so emboldened by the Spirit of God that you go out and you simply share. You share the hope that is found in Christ. The pandemic has scattered Paradigm, and problems have given birth to preachers. Y'all have been preaching. Y'all have been living on mission. And if you're here and you haven't been and you don't know what that means, let's go. That you can change the world one person at a time. And I think that's what we all want, right? We all want to see change take place. But one of the things I've been learning during this time is so frustrating, is that everything that I long to see change, I have no power within myself to change it. The reason why there was a murder of a man broadcasted to the nation is because of sin. The reason why there are riots in the streets is because of sin. The reason why there are pandemics and pandemonium in the nation and in the world is because of sin. And what can you do about sin? Nothing. Jesus is our only hope. Now, some of you, you're not convinced. And maybe you brought in here and you've got some sort of ideology of utopia. And you think, well, if we can legislate, if we can educate, if we can do all that, then we can navigate some of these problems. If Jesus isn't the solution to the problems that we are facing, what is? What is? Like, imagine if everyone was just in a right relationship with God. Imagine everyone right now, if we could snap our finger, they're all in a right relationship with God. Would there be riots right now? Would there be murders of men for forgery? Would there be sexual abuse? Would there be divorce? Imagine if everybody was in a right relationship with God. This is the hope. And if God would break out and send revival, perhaps we would be like verse 8. It just simply said, and there was great joy in that city. What if people came to KC and they said, man, there's great joy in Kansas City? Because there is an army of young adults that have gone out, they've scattered abroad, and they've taken their faith seriously. and they've been the church. They hadn't just taught church, but they went out and they were the church. The church isn't an activity, it's an identity. That we are called to be a part of this movement that shares this message. But some of you, like right now, I know what you're thinking, like, okay, that's good for you, Chad. You've been through a lot of things. You got experience. But what does that look like practically? Like, do I launch a campaign? Do I get a microphone? I mean, what does that look like functionally? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have an example of Philip doing what I think everyone here should be doing. And here's what it says. You jump down to verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. And I love verse 27. It says, "So he arose and went." This is following Jesus, all right? The Spirit of God prompts you and you obey. We teach our little girls when we're teaching them, training them up in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they don't depart. We say, listen and obey with a happy heart. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And Philip, he just simply wants to be God's man. So the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord, he speaks to Philip and he says, "Yes, sir." And when the Lord speaks to his people, we follow. Now, this is crazy because Philip, he could have debated God a little bit here. Like God was using Philip in a great way in Samaria. Like it was, things were blowing up in Samaria. But God called him to go. Like the thesis of Acts is found in Acts 1:8. It says this, that you will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so what Philip was getting to be a part of, he found Christ in Jerusalem. We don't know if he went to Judea, but probably did. Then he went to Samaria, was a part of God doing some great things in Samaria. And in this day and age, what would have been considered the nation that would have been considered the utter ends of the earth was a nation called Ethiopia. And so here's what we find out. That Philip, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. That God is accomplishing his mission through an ordinary man named Philip. You don't know where God's going to lead you. And you don't know what God has up his sleeve that he wants to invite you to be a part of. Following Jesus is exciting. You get to be a part of the greatest movement that will last forever. And so Philip's the guy that takes the gospel to a man that is in the other ends of the earth. It says this, a man of Ethiopia, or the other ends of the earth, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So you have this Ethiopian man that worships at the temple. Note this, that a eunuch, he didn't have rights to worship God like everyone else did. He was considered unclean according to Deuteronomy. And it goes on in verse 28, he was returning and he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament. It's a book in the Bible. And then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." Now, this wasn't like go up there and just bombard over there, right? But it was go near and basically knock on the door of his chariot. And so Philip ran to him and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said to this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And Philip said, "I'm glad you asked." he said that he came and he sat with him. Like, get this picture, right? You have Philip, this nobody Greek guy, all right? He was Greek. He has no seminary. He's been following Jesus for a short time. Like, he's been telling people about Jesus for like a month. He rose up on this African, transgendered, powerful man. And he asked him some questions. And Philip, he's taken a risk. And listen, what both of these men have in common is that they both desperately need God. Some of you are here and you're like, "Man, I don't know how to talk to other people that aren't like me." Do you have a need for God? Yeah, they do too. Blaise Pascal, one of the most brilliant minds of recent time, really, I guess a couple centuries ago, he said that there's a God-shaped hole, a God-shaped vacuum inside of every man's heart that only God can fill. You have more in common with people that are not like you than you know. And so Philip, he goes and he shares the gospel with this guy. It says here in verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Man, so much could be said as to why the eunuch was reading this passage. But the eunuch had gone through a painful experience that caused him to forfeit the legacy of his generations. And all the men said amen, all right? If you don't know what a eunuch is, we're going to pray for you, all right? And so he's relating with the pain of this person that he's reading about. And so much could be said about how Christ, he connects with us in our most vulnerable place. That at the center of Christianity is a man naked, bleeding to death. That by his stripes we are healed, because wounds relate to wounds. Goes on in verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he started with what he had there. He preached Jesus. Again, this was word preach. It's not microphone. It's not loud. It's not boisterous. He simply told him about the story of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has come to die for our sins, rose from the grave so that we can have a right relationship with God through Jesus. Verse 36, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This was the Ethiopian's way of saying, like, I believe in the gospel. I want to get baptized. I wonder if you've come here tonight. Maybe you got drug here. You thought it was going to be a date. And that girl was like, hey, do you want to go on a date? You're like, yeah. Yeah, let's go, you know. And then y'all showed up here, and you're like, bro, that's kind of a weird place for a date, right? And she's like, just wait, you know, and now you're here, right? And maybe you're here, and then like you've been telling somebody that you're going to come, and like you finally decided you were going to come, and then the quarantine happened. And so like, and maybe you're here, and you're just kind of checking out Christianity, and God's beginning to do something inside of you, that you're realizing that Jesus is the only hope. And maybe you're trying to justify right now, like the why you're a Christian, why you're good before God, and that you don't need to do anything new. But here's something real simple. This is a physical marker that if you haven't experienced this, I would question whether or not you truly know Christ. Have you been baptized? Like, as a conscientious adult, have you been baptized? Baptism is this symbol that you get in the water and you are buried with Christ in baptism. You go underneath the water. And then you come out and you come out of the water and you are symbolizing that you've been raised to walk with Jesus in newness of life. And that baptism is this biblical declaration that you are saying, I am following Jesus. He is my Lord. No turning back. Have you done that? Has there been a defining moment in your life where you've turned from your sin, you've believed in Jesus as your only hope for salvation, and you begin to follow him? If you haven't, what are you waiting on? Don't you want to live forever with God? Don't you want to have life and life abundantly? Don't you want to join the family of God that invites you into this movement that you were created for, that you long to be a part of? And you can do that tonight. You can confess Christ and we can sign you up to get baptized and it'll be awesome. People celebrate. Let's go. Why would you wait? And that's what's happening right here in this text, that Philip, he's sharing the gospel. This guy receives the gospel. It says in verse 38, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch, they went down into the water and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. But listen, he went on his way rejoicing. And the Ethiopian went and started a gospel movement in the other ends of the earth. But Philip, he was found in Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities. I love that. He didn't stop preaching until he came to Caesarea, and that's where he settled down. That Philip, listen, he is modeling for us what it looks like to be a part of the movement by sharing the message in a very practical way. Point number three, and finally, if you're taking notes tonight, write this down. What is the method? What is the method? If you're here and you want to be a part of the movement of God, the church, you share the message of the gospel, of how to have a right relationship with God through Jesus. And what that looks like practically is that you are led by the Spirit to share the gospel with people. We kind of have this phrase that you find your one. You find one. Philip, he was led out into the desert, and then he looked up and there was somebody coming by. So he thought, Lord, that's the person you want me to share with. And if God wants you to share your faith, like some of you don't have to pray, God, do you want me to share my faith? He's like, yes, all right? Don't quit praying about that. Just go share. And you go have a conversation. Ask questions. Don't be like, hey, I need to share with you something, right? Don't just step up into their chariot business. Roll up to them and say, hey, do you understand what you're reading? Do you have a faith? Tell me about your faith. What's your story? And you begin to have spiritual conversations. Look, I love this, that Philip, again, he's just an ordinary guy. He's like the guy that just stacks chairs, right? In church life, he's the guy with a servant's heart, right? He's not the guy in Jerusalem, but then the church scatters, and then Philip becomes this guy that takes the gospel to the guy that takes the gospel to the other ends of the earth. You have no idea what God wants to do through you. Philip was just a nobody that was trying to tell somebody that day about Jesus who can change anybody. That Philip, he overcame obstacles. I mean, you think about all the reasons why he could have not shared. He could have let suffering stop him. It didn't stop him. He could have let the race of this guy stop him. Well, he ain't like me. He didn't let that stop him. He could have let the risk. It was risky for him to go to this entourage of this powerful African man. But he didn't let the risk stop him. He simply shared the message of Jesus. Listen, don't miss this. You are God's plan to reach the world. You want to see peace in the streets? Go preach the gospel. I'm glad you posted social media. It's Blackout Tuesday. I'm glad you did that if you did that. But that's not enough. Pray and share the gospel. You are God's plan to reach the world. Let's go, church. Let's be a part of the mission and the movement of God. We're back in the same old place tonight. A similar place, but I'm calling you to a new mentality. Look, what if the result of you coming here tonight? What if the result was that of this message that you're hearing right now is that you joined the movement, you linked arms with some men, and you ran after the gates of hell with those men. You joined arms with some women, and you pushed back the darkness. What if a result of tonight, you coming here, that you got the training that you needed so that you could articulate the gospel with clarity? And you begin to share with your coworkers, you begin to share with your family, and you begin to see people turn their life over to Jesus. What if as a result of you coming here tonight, that Jesus called you to be the one that began the spiritual conversation with somebody, and Jesus changed their life the same way that he changed you? The peace that we long for, the hope that we long for, the unity that we long for can become a reality starting tonight. Welcome back, Paradigm. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much just for this opportunity to open up your word and to see a vivid example of how you triumph over difficult times. And that's where we are tonight, God. As if COVID wasn't enough. We add insult to injury with hate. And a lot of us just don't know what to do, but God, you know what to do. You are our leader, and we follow you. God, help us to be rooted in the body of Christ. Help us not to be a dismembered person of the body. But help us to find our place in the body and help us to function the way you made us in our mama's womb to function. And help us to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. God, if somebody's here, they don't know you. God, they would surrender their life to you. They wouldn't waste their life anymore. They wouldn't burn through their 20s and get into their 30s and look back on a decade of regret. But God, they would sober up. They would wage war against sin and they would start chasing after you. And telling people all about you. Where are the Philips in our day, God? Where are those that will take your word? And they will run to Samaria. They will run to the middle of the desert if you call them to. God, help us to leverage our youth and our agility and our mobility to share the gospel with anybody that comes across our path. God, use us. Use us to reach someone, to share the message of hope that we have, that we claim that has changed our life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.